Hello, it's Paul and it's...
Megan.
Hello, Megan. And welcome to the ESPC Property Show. Today, we have two guests, very knowledgeable guests, don't we? We've got
Sophia from Davidson's and Ivan from Ralph Sayer joining us today to speak about kind of the quarter one activity of the property market in Edinburgh, the Lothian, Fife and Scottish Borders.
Cover a lot of ground.
Yeah.
Including lockdown dogs.
Yeah, we speak about getting gardens for your lockdown dogs, why it's a good time to buy a purchase a buy-to-let. Mm-hmm.
Some hotspots. And as ever, some good news stories in there, especially for first-time buyers.
Yeah, it's really good. So, yeah, we hope you enjoy the episode. Okay, so we're here today with Sophia and Ivan, who are going to chat us through their kind of experiences over the first few months of 2024. And we'll touch on some of the data from that we've seen as well in the market. So to start with, I'd just like you introduce yourself. So Ivan, I don't know if you want to go first.
My name's Ivan Ralph. I'm the CEO at Ralph Sayer Solicitors, based in the Sighthill Industrial Estate in Edinburgh. We are a relatively small firm, 17 of us, but do quite a bit of property work, so very much finger on the pulse with what's going on in the property market.
Perfect. And Sophia?
And I'm Sophia Renshaw. I am a second year trainee solicitor and I work at Davidson's. We're just a small firm as well, but lots of property and yeah.
Here you are.
Perfect.
Here you are both.
So I think just to kick off, we were just wanting to hear about how you guys have found the first quarter of 2024 in the property market.
I've felt there's been a fair uptick in the market. I mean, I keep a fairly close eye on number of files we open per month. And for January, February, March, we're up about 20% on what we were second half of last year. So that suggests to me that there's a fair bit more activity on the go. I mean, obviously, after the kind of disastrous mini-budget, the market took a hit. Yes. And I think with interest rates going up as much as they did, people were quite reticent about getting back into the market. I think the general consensus now is that rates have gone as high as they're going to go and will likely be coming down before very much longer. And I think we've seen a lot more people now who were sitting on the sidelines coming back in and re-entering the market. It's a calmer market now than it was 18 months ago, but properties are still selling reasonably quickly at reasonably good prices, but not as silly as they were 18 months or so ago. So I think it's quite a stable, calm market, but one that I think we'll see pick up in months to come.
Perfect.
Yeah, I would echo all of that. I think we have seen recently some really competitive closing dates, particularly in first-time buyer hotspots. Yeah. Lots of offers going well above valuation. So that's encouraging to see. And I think also noticed on the ESPC, there's an increase in fixed price properties. So I don't know if that's something we've also explored with our clients. That seems to generate a bit more interest. And yeah, I think it's interesting to see that.
I think you're right. I think it encourages people. They kind of know what they're shooting at, don't they, when they see a fixed price where his offer's over. Yeah. You know, it's where do you place that? Where do you pitch your offer, really?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess... something that we like to touch upon here is obviously answer questions that people might have coming into the market. Yeah. So just to keep things, topical, between buyers and sellers, what would you say your most client's most common concern is at the moment coming to market?
Oh, it's interesting. One of the things, I spoke of 18 months ago when a real problem then was that sellers were scared to sell because they didn't think they'd be able to buy because the market was so overinflated. I think now sellers see a calmer market and are more ready to put their own property on the market, knowing that they can probably buy the next property sensibly thereafter. So I think the kind of calmer market we're in is a good thing from buyers and sellers' point of view. Obviously, sellers may not get the silly price they would have got 18 months or so ago, but they'll be able to buy at a similar level to where they sell in terms of the valuations concerned. So I think it's a more stable and relaxed and calm situation for sellers to be in. There's still always that concern when you're selling whether you'll be able to buy the next property that you want as easily as you might want to do. There are still plenty of people who will offer subject to sale of their own property if they're extremely concerned about that. And that's still commonly happening. more often than not, those sellers will sell their property within the 4 weeks they're commonly given to do so, and people move on as normal. It can be slightly tricky if you've got that situation with chains of other people involved as well. But you know, normally people are keen to achieve the end result of moving properties. So you'll find there's normally some give and take in the chain to ensure that deals will happen. Mm-hmm. But as I say, I think we're in a pretty good place just now in that respect, in that it's much more much easier to secure the next property. And as I say, if there is someone who's, you know, absolutely not in a position to or absolutely won't buy before they've sold,
I know what you mean.
Won't sell before they buy,
yeah.
then they can offer subject to sale. And, you know, yes. I mean, that's something you still come across quite regularly, where clients will say, look, I'm absolutely not prepared to sell first. I need to get something teed up to buy, and then I'll put mine on the market. And more often than not, those properties will sell reasonably quickly. So as I say, that tends to work reasonably well. Obviously, there's the odd one that won't sell in the time scale that they're given, and if so, the sellers of that are back to square one. But as I say, that doesn't happen terribly often the way the market is just now.
Mm-hmm. I have heard, I mean, we've had a few firms say that some sellers are less keen now to accept a subject to sale, you know, and if there's two offers,
uh-huh.
and even if the other offer is somebody who's offering less, but they're in a position to go.
Uh-huh.
Would you say that would, you know, what would your advice be to that client? It's very difficult, isn't it? Because these cases,
it depends what the difference is. And I mean, obviously, if the difference is not a huge amount, mm-hmm. then sellers will often go for the surer bet, the more concrete offer.
Yeah.
But you know, you'll sometimes get situations where the difference is, you know, 20,000-30,000. Yeah. And in that scenario, a seller's more likely to take the risk with the subject to sale offer. Obviously, where the subject to sale property is comes into it as well. If it's an area that's expected to sell mm-hmm. extremely easily, then less of a gamble than if it's somewhere that, you know, isn't selling so well and might not sell so quickly.
Yeah.
But all comes into it.
I think you're right, Ivan. It feels like a market where it's easier to do business this year. The frenzy and the mania is probably not as there. There's 30% more properties in the SPC.com than this time last year, so there's more choice, which I think makes a seller feel a little bit more comfortable and confident that they will find somewhere, and I think evidence would suggest that they are. Can I ask you this then, Sophia? In fact, you did mention it already, hotspots.
Hotspots.
Where are the hotspots?
Where are the hotspots? Well, I think depends on the circumstances. Mm-hmm. What we've noticed is Midlothian seems to be a hotspot, particularly for people that are looking to upsize, that kind of first move from a flat into a family home.
Second steppers.
Yes, exactly. So that's quite interesting. And I think what draws people there, you get a bit more for your money, you probably get a garden, you've got good transport links back into the city, and you've got nice green spaces. And that draws a lot of people to that area. I think in terms of first-time buyers, we see the sort of Gorgi, Socton areas. They're always hotspots. I know it's always mentioned in the ESPC. They're the hotspots for first-time buyers. And I think probably just because of the price bracket you can achieve there, you can utilise the LBTT relief as well.
And you're not paying such a premium, are you, to achieve those sort of properties?
Exactly. So for that sort of first-time property, I think it suits a lot of people's needs being in those sort of areas.
Okay. And Ivan, in addition to the industrial estate at Sight Hill, where else is a hotspot?
I'll put another vote in for Midlothian. I stay in Loanhead myself. Yeah. And, you know, it's perfectly handy for me. I'm 20 minutes or so round the bypass to work. You know, if you want to get a bus into town, you're half an hour, 40 minutes or so. And as Sophia says, by going that little bit out of town, you get a little more for your money. Obviously, there's been a huge explosion in new builds. You know, virtually every open space on the south side of the city is now a building site. You know, same west and east. You know, every kind of available bit of ground seems to be getting built on just now. I mean, that's another area I've noticed. I mean, the end of last year, the builders had quietened down quite a bit. They were struggling to sell. They were offering a lot more incentives. I've noticed that there's been a lot more new build activity at the start of the year. You know, the incentives has probably helped that, but I suspect they'll probably be lessening as we go, as the market improves.
Yeah.
But the bottom line remains the same here. There's an undersupply of property for the number of people looking to buy. So it's never going to be a bad place for people to buy anywhere in the area, and it's pretty much as stable a market as you can get.
Yeah, I think we'd agree, and certainly we've seen the Lothians as a whole, sort of post-COVID, is increasing in popularity, as has the Borders, as we know. So this drive to have sort of open space and garden, or get extra bedroom if you're working from home, because you're not doing the commute every day, you're doing it 3 days out of five or whatever. I think that's made a difference, hasn't it?
100%, yeah.
Yeah, and in terms of, we mentioned like open space, gardens and things, in terms of property types, so flats, houses, number of bedrooms, what are you seeing that buyers are looking for right now?
I mean, I think space is probably, as Paul says, much more of an issue than it used to be. And, particularly post-COVID, flats, which ordinarily would have flown off the shelves, would struggle to sell if there wasn't nice open space with them. Smaller flats were more of a struggle to sell. So I think that's probably caused a bit of a shift in terms of how people are looking at properties. They're not just looking at the four walls themselves. They're more concerned with the immediate vicinity. Is there a garden you can sit out in the summer, etc.? Do you have somewhere to park your car? There's more attention paid to the kind of exterior and outside of the property now than was the case pre-COVID, when the property itself was the kind of be all and end all.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Sophia, are you seeing any property types that are in high demand as well?
Yeah, I would say that. Again, going back to first-time buyers, it's always the same sort of thing they're looking for. Flats, it tends to be in those areas that we've discussed. I think, I probably agree with everything that you said, though. I think open spaces, gardens particularly, I know lots of people have got lockdown dogs, so they need that open space, dogs. So I think that's becoming definitely more important, that you do have that, whereas before people weren't as bothered about having access to a garden. So
I'm going to take that phrase for the trail for the show, lockdown dogs. It's a good name for a band.
I know a few lockdown dogs, so yeah, me too.
Okay, well, we're sort of moving into spring, but the clocks have just gone back, and here we are. It doesn't make such a difference, what advice would you give to those looking to buy or looking to sell? Let's start with sellers first. Is this the right time now? Should they wait till summer? What do you think, Sophia?
I think spring is as good a time as any, but I would say there's a lot of advantages, particularly the weather. I know we're in Edinburgh, so can't guarantee good weather, but we've got a better chance of getting nice natural light. So photos that are being taken, they always look better with a bit of natural light. If you do have a garden or open space, they look better with that natural light. And I would say that everything looks better in spring with the sun out. Also, I think that this time of year people are they're thinking about doing spring cleans. So if you're thinking, I want to get my property on the market at some point this year, well, why not do it now? Get that spring clean done and then get someone in, take your photos, get on the market, and you're ready sort of for later on in the year. You can then think about moving on to your next steps as well.
Yeah, it's a good point. It really does bring to light, if you've got a south-facing garden, it means so much more, doesn't it, when the sun's, when 100%. People come to view and they can see that. And Ivan, what about buyers then? I mean, should they wait? Are we going to see prices recorrect here?
No. I mean, if you're looking to buy, get on and do it is what I would say. You're not going to save yourself money by waiting. If you're renting, you'll end up paying more rent for an extended period. So if you're thinking of buying, get on and do it. I think the market is in a good place, but I can see it heating up a bit more from where it is at the moment. And, I think just get on and do it is what I would say. Don't hang about thinking you'll get a better deal in 6 months' time. You won't.
Yeah, and we've debated this, haven't we? It's when it's right for you. But certainly, my bet's been for about 9 months now that we'll see the first rate cut in May. Mm-hmm. Might be June, but I'm still sticking with May. Yeah. And I think that will send a further signal to the market, and that will be the first of a few cuts, we think. We can see inflation is falling, wage inflation is higher
potentially now than inflation. So, you know, affordability is coming back a little bit. So, yeah, I think the market's strong. Plus the fact, and I'm sure tenants will know this, that there's not much available to rent. You know, certainly in that sort of sub £1,000, which is a ridiculous amount of money for rental. But, you know, to get on the market, even for rental, is quite challenging right now. Well, so
the overheating is in the rental market now rather than the sales market. And obviously there's a lot of landlords coming out of the rental market because of recent legislative changes. And
22,000, I think.
I mean, I can only see that getting worse the way things are going. You know, the recent bill, I don't think we'll do anything to address that at all.
Absolutely not, which is unfortunate because, and we were chatting sort of before the show enjoying, is, you know, there is a housing shortage. We need more property. We need to continue to build and provide for those right across the spectrum from affordable to rented to, you know, to owner occupier.
I know we've touched on sort of the challenges for landlords, but there's still a there's still a big demand there, isn't there? For any advice for landlords out there?
I would say right now, if you're looking to purchase a buy-to-let property or an investment property, now's a great time. If you're looking at timescales, things could probably be tied up, provided there are no significant delays before the fringe. Before then, students coming back to the city in September time. Obviously, there's some regulatory things, short-term let license at HMO, exactly. But it's a good time to now really be dipping your foot in and hopefully going even further forward with that.
Okay, good. Thank you.
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, we've seen a lot of buy-to-let landlords come out of the market with recent changes, but equally there are others in the wings who are coming into the market. So it's not a one-way flow, but there's certainly been a lot that have come out with the legislation. But as Sophia says, you know, in years gone by, it would have been virtually impossible to sensibly buy a buy-to-let investment in Edinburgh, given the crazy prices that there were. You know, now the market's a bit calmer. You can buy for valuation or thereabouts. So it's a much better buying proposition than it has been for some time if you are looking to get into the buy-to-let side of things.
I'd agree, and we've already had cases where you've had students already starting to look for the September. You think that's a long way out, but you know, I think that just shows you the potential demand that is out there, and as you say, that's huge. Get things sorted out, hurry up a little bit.
Exactly.
It's their time.
Exactly. Good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess then we've kind of already had a little bit of a look ahead, but what do you think the rest of 2024 will look like for the property market?
I mean, I'm pretty optimistic it will be pretty decent. As I say, I think there are signs of things picking up already. You know, I think the trend in rates, as we've discussed, is definitely back the way and coming downwards. I think that'll make things more affordable for everyone generally. The recent inflation figures all point towards prices coming down and improving people's affordability. And I think that will see us, you know, in a fairly buoyant market in the second half of the year. It's difficult to know exactly what that will mean in terms of numbers, but, you know, I see the market on an upward trend as things stand at the minute. As I say, it may not be as crazy as it was 18 months or so ago, but that would be no bad thing to be slightly busier, but not crazy.
I think as well, the general election potentially coming up quite soon, it's going to be a hot topic, I think, housing and obviously devolved here, but anything that they may be thinking about trying to get the younger electorate in, they might need to pull them. They've got quite a lot of influence in this vote, I would say. Any voters do, but, you know, the younger generation do have a big pull. And I would say that anything that's aimed towards younger first-time buyers, that might be something that's then replicated in Scotland. So there might be some interesting outcomes of that. Also, will people be cautious of the market just until they know the outcome of the general election? So I think it'll be quite an exciting, interesting year to see how things develop.
Yeah, I think you're right. And there was a lot of speculation, you know, with the Westminster budget that there would be something for first-time buyers. Yeah. I think often they sort of fly a kite in these things, don't they, and see what the reaction is, because they were talking about that 99% mortgage, weren't they, where, you know, government would maybe back the deposit. And that didn't come about. But yeah, it's still time. You know, as you say, who knows, or what's in the manifesto.
Exactly.
If those things mean anything these days. Sorry, we're getting into politics. We shouldn't run the ball on the podcast.
Absolutely. absolutely. And just something else I thought we would ask you just before, for the end, have you got any nice good news stories? Paul and I always ask that when we have some member firms on. Do you have any like recent good news stories from buyers or sellers?
Yeah. Especially like first-time buyers, you know.
Yeah.
We like them stories about them getting on the ladder or, you know.
Yeah, I think our first-time buyers that we've had recently, a few have had to make quite a few offers, and it's just getting used to the process, understanding, because it's a big deal buying a property, and it's the legal system is not the easiest to understand. So I think us being there for them, supporting them, and then when they get the outcome that they want, it actually feels so much better, particularly for a first-time buyer. It's a nice feeling being involved in that. So, yeah, we've had a couple of those. So I'd say we've had a couple of good outcome stories. So that's been nice.
That's nice.
And I think that phrase, that what's meant for you won't go by you.
So true, yeah, you know, exactly.
Generally, it's for a reason, isn't it? You get the one that, you know, ultimately, I think, is the one that's right for you, really.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and I think sometimes maybe not having your first offer accepted kind of... prepares you for the rest of the journey.
It's a bit of failure, so it's a journey.
It's really nice to hear those stories. And I think it's also nice when, for first-time buyers, when it's actually maybe a little bit more of a straightforward process.
Yeah.
I think it's quite daunting.
Yeah. I know.
Because I know when we have first-time buyer events as well, everyone thinks, oh, once you actually speak to a solicitor, everything feels like, oh, this is a lot more straightforward, actually.
And doing it early, I guess, talking to both of yourselves early on in the process, you know, when you first start out, because you can help navigate them through this.
And I think there's probably still a bit of a kind of trepidation of speaking to solicitors, thinking that they're going to be difficult to speak to and unapproachable. No. You know, that's not the case nowadays. No. At all. Most are perfectly approachable and nice to speak to.
No one wears
nice
a tie anymore. I think it's a different world, isn't it? You know, I think as most of the world is, it's less formal. There's an informality now and a more relaxed view. And ultimately, solicitors just want to do a good job and they want to help the clients, don't they? And you're duty bound to do right by your client.
Yeah.
Is it hard though sometimes when you kind of rein in somebody in a little bit when they maybe want to offer? I remember when I was offering a property and my sister at the time was like, you don't need to offer that much more. I was like, but I really want it. It's like, just take the emotion out of it, take a step back, think about it, go and see a few more, you know. You sometimes have to be a bit more.
It's clients' money at the end of the day, but obviously, you know, you're advising them to try and, you know, do the best you can for them, you know, and sometimes. Sometimes that will be a case of saying, you know, you don't need to be offering as much as you want to for that. You know, I think you'll get it for less.
Well, let's try.
That's a slight risk in that if you end up
you said
on the wrong side of that, then you know you're the one that's getting the blame for it. But you know, it's the client's choice at the end of the day. You're there to guide them and advise them as best you can with your knowledge of the market.
Yeah.
You know, it's their call at the end of the day how much they offer for a property, whether that's too little or too much. But you just have to guide as best you can, and hopefully your advice is good and works.
Brilliant. Okay. What a lovely place to leave it, I think.
Yeah.
Sophia, Ivan, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
We really enjoyed that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Cheers. Okay, I enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was a really good episode.
Yeah.
I think these are always some of our most popular episodes. I think it's just really nice to hear how the market's doing and, what buyers and sellers are actually up to right now.
I mean, we get the statistics, doesn't it? But it's nice to get the human interest stories. And, you know, I think as both of them said, it's a market where business can be done, buyers can buy, sellers can sell, you know, and that sounds like a pretty healthy market to me.
Yeah, it's fair, fairer maybe than it felt a few years ago, and hopefully we're in for quite a prosperous year.
They seem to think so.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So thanks so much for listening. If you aren't subscribed yet, wherever you're watching or listening, please hit the subscribe button and you'll get notified when our new episodes drop every Thursday. But other than that, and we'll speak to you next week.
See you.
Bye.